On behalf of the Stewart family, I want to thank all of you for coming this evening to pay final respects to our friend and loved one, Dave Stewart. Dave was a good man. Not good enough to go to heaven, but a good man. But you don't have to worry about Dave. He is in the presence of God at this very moment. Because Dave knew that none of us are good enough to go to heaven. That all of us are bad and need a Savior. And Dave knew that God has provided one for us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many years ago, Dave believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved from all of his sins. Now, how about you? Have you believed on the Lord and been saved from all of your sins? I know that some people are afraid of that word saved or are at least uncomfortable with it, but they really needn't be. It's a word that the Bible uses over and over again. It's a word that the hymn writer John Newton used when he wrote that most beloved of all Christian hymns, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." You've probably sung that song at some time or other in your life. Maybe you even know all the words. But are you saved? You know, we call the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. And the purpose of a Savior is to save people. I mean, it's written right there in the job description of a Savior. And if you're not saved this evening, you can be. Right now, in the privacy of your own heart. In the book of Acts, chapter 16 and verse 31, the Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." It doesn't say, believe and be good. Doesn't even say, believe and be religious. It just says, believe and be saved. You don't have to move a muscle. You don't have to bat an eye. But you do have to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ paid for all of your sins when he died for them on the cross. Now, I know most people say that they believe that, but if you talk to them, you can tell they really don't. Because when you ask them why they think they're going to heaven, they say, well, it's because Jesus Christ died for my sins, and I'm paying for my sins too by being good. If that's you this evening, may I kindly say that you don't understand what being a Savior is all about. When a man is drowning at the beach, the lifeguard can't save him. until he stops trying to save himself. As long as he's flailing his arms and kicking his legs, the lifeguard can't get near enough to save him. And beloved, in the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ can't save you from your sins until you stop trying to save yourself by being good. Does that mean God doesn't want us to be good? Well, of course He wants us to be good. But He wants us to be good to show Him how thankful we are for saving us by believing on His Son. Not be good in order to get saved. Don't do what the vast majority of people do. Don't get the cart before the horse, because you can't get to heaven if you get God's plan of salvation backward like that. Now, if you're not sure of what I'm trying to say and what I know, Dave would hit me in the head if I didn't make clear to you tonight. I've got a little exercise for you. Later tonight, or perhaps tomorrow, you're going to do some good deed, or you're going to avoid doing some sinful deed. And you're going to say to yourself, I just helped Christ pay for my sins, and I just earned my way to heaven a little bit more. When that happens, I want you to stop yourself and say, no, Dave's pastor said that the Bible says the only way I can get to heaven is to believe Christ paid for my sins. And if you keep doing that, eventually you'll learn to trust Dave's Savior as your Savior. Just do not wait too long, because death could come for you as suddenly and as unexpectedly as it came for Dave. And then it'll be eternally too late. That's one of the points that Dave makes in this DVD of a message he made right here in our church several years ago. He talks about dying without Christ. And then he says some words that you are going to find haunting. He says, do you know how many people died yesterday who didn't know they were going to die yesterday? Dave didn't know he was going to die Saturday, but he did. And you might die this Saturday. You might die this evening. And that's why Dave's family wants you to have a copy of this DVD message. It's playing on the loop there in the foyer, but they want you to take one, take it home, watch it so that you can hear from Dave himself what you need to do to be saved from your sins. It's your only hope of ever seeing him again. Many years ago, a man in my church came up to me one Sunday and he said, you got to go with me to hear this pastor I just found not too far from where I live. He's an amazing Bible teacher. So that very Wednesday night, we went to hear Dave Stewart teach the Word of God. And I got to tell you, I'd been teaching the Bible for, I think it was like 20 years by that time. But he taught me things that night that I'd never heard before, some of which I still remember 20 years later. Dave co-pastored that church on the south side of Chicago with his friend, Pastor Al Dietz, for 8 years. And they poured their hearts and their souls into that ministry. And when it finally had to close, for what I understand were financial reasons, I think Dave felt a little down about it. So in the years that followed, he didn't do any regular Bible teaching. He would fill in for me from this pulpit sometimes when I had to travel. But for the most part, he stayed home and licked his spiritual wounds, I guess you could say. But the time came when we needed a regular Bible teacher on our midweek service on Wednesday night. And I asked Dave if he'd be interested in taking the position. And he said, yeah, it's time I got off my duff and started teaching again. And let me tell you, the tremendous lessons that he brought over the next several years can still be heard on our church website. If you ever want to hear Dave's voice again, just talk to me and I will show you where to find many, many messages that he gave. And then 6 years ago, we began a video ministry, and you can see him teach, as you saw out in the foyer. Some years later, we needed a new teacher for our adult Sunday school class on Sunday. So I told him that we were thinking of just shutting down our Wednesday service and moving him to Sunday. And I'll never forget what he said that day. He said, how about I do both? And I said, how about we ask your wife what she thinks about you doing both? And I'll tell you, I'll never forget what Sandy said. She said, only if I can help too. And from that day forward, she's been helping out in the kitchen, preparing the snacks we have every Sunday. And Dave began teaching 2 times a week while still working full-time at Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and commuting about, what, an hour each way to get there, 2 hours of driving every day. Despite the long hours it took to prepare those messages. And he only quit on Wednesdays when Blue Cross started working him so late on Wednesdays that he was finding it difficult to get here on time. But we were blessed to have his ministry on Sunday for the many years that followed. Not long after I discovered Dave Stewart, I had the opportunity to share the blessing of his ministry with a much larger audience than our small church here. In the year 2001? In 2001, I took a position with the Berean Bible Society in Germantown, Wisconsin, in addition to continuing to pastor here. And when they made me the editor of their International Bible Study magazine, the Berean Searchlight, I immediately began to feature Bible study articles written by Dave Stewart. Now, you should know, we have our own staff writers at Berean Bible Society. But our board of directors allows me to use contributing writers once a year, each individual writer. But once they read Dave's articles, they allowed me to make him the only writer I'm allowed to use 4 times a year. And that exposure led to Dave being asked to speak at our yearly National Bible Conference, where he became such a popular speaker that 2 years ago, they asked him to be the featured speaker, the one who gave 4 messages during the course of the week instead of just 1 message as the other speakers did. And wow, did he bring some messages. One of my other responsibilities at Berean Bible Society is responding to the Bible questions that come in literally every day from all over the world. And whenever I was asked a question that I didn't know the answer to, I asked Dave. And he almost was always able to help. And folks, that kind of knowledge of the Word of God can only come from a lifetime of giving yourself to the Word of God and the study of it selflessly. A giant among men has passed away. And I'm not just talking about his height, folks. I'm talking about a man who made it his passion in life to study the scriptures until it transformed his life. It transformed his life into the gracious man that you knew him to be. And then it became his passion to teach it to other people to help them transform their lives. And he did it better than any man I have ever known in my 42 years in the ministry. But if you didn't know Dave well, there's something you need to know about all that. Something that will tell you exactly the kind of man he was. It's something that I found out about one day when he told me he wanted me to pray for him because he was taking a new position at Blue Cross. One that was going to be outside his comfort zone. When I asked him what it was and why it would make him uncomfortable, he replied, "Well, it involves public speaking." And I think my exact words were, "Say what? Dave, you speak in front of people every week. And you have for most of your life." And he said, "Yeah, but I hate it." And it was then he told me something that later he was very open with. So I'm not embarrassing him now that he's with the Lord. And that is, he suffered from stage fright. He once told me that if he pulled into the church parking lot on Sunday morning and just saw a few extra cars, He could feel his stomach starting to tighten up. In recent years, sometimes after he finished teaching his adult Sunday school class, he'd come up to me and say that he was going to have to leave without staying for the church service because he only got maybe an hour of sleep the night before because he was up all night stressing about the message that he had to give the next day. And the year he spoke four times at our annual conferences, that's when he came down with those three herniated discs in his neck, and he told me he thought they were stress related. And they kept him home for, I want to say what, we missed him for 6 months, I believe, here on Sundays. Well, by now, you're probably wondering, what kind of man would put himself through that week in and week out throughout the entire course of his life? And the answer is, that kind of man. That's the kind of man you came to honor this evening. The kind that gave his life to serving God Almighty in a way that just mortified him. Just because he knew he was effective when he did it, and just because he knew it needed to be done. And he knew that if he didn't do it, that someday he'd have to stand before God, give him some lame excuse as to why he didn't do it. And what I want to know now is what you are going to do about it now that you know all that. If you're saved, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. Can't serve the Lord without being saved. But if you're saved, you can hear all that and leave here tonight and just say, wow, what an amazing man he was, and just go on with your life as if you never knew Dave. Or you could start to ask yourself, am I man enough or woman enough to step up and follow in Dave Stewart's footsteps and serve the Lord like he did in some capacity? If you want to show the impact that his life had on your life, I would encourage you to start looking for ways that you can serve the Lord. Even if it's outside of your comfort zone, the choice is yours. But if you came here tonight to honor Dave Stewart, there is no finer way to honor him than to begin to walk down the astounding trail that he blazed in life. I could tell you beyond the shadow of a doubt that if you choose to do that, that would please Dave more than anything else that you can do to honor his memory. And if that's something that you think you'd like to pray about, what do you say we close this portion of the service by doing that? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the life of our beloved Dave Stewart. And we thank you for the bright prospect of seeing him again and enjoying him again for all eternity. All because of the blood of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that our memories of Dave will sustain us in the meantime. and that those memories would be a special comfort to Sandy and the girls and the rest of the family as well. And I also pray that you would speak to the hearts of those who are thinking of following Dave's example in life, of giving themselves to you. Father, I pray you won't give them a moment's rest until they decide they will. May this day be a turning point in each one of their lives as they decide to impact the lives of other people the way Dave Stewart impacted all of us. And this I pray in the Savior's name. Amen. The family has asked me to give you the opportunity to say a word about what Dave meant to you, or perhaps share a memory or two. You can either come up here through there to do that from the pulpit if you like, or you could just stand up where you are. But either way, be sure to speak up, because I'm guessing I'm not the only deaf person here, or hard of hearing person here. And now, I should also add that if you don't want to say anything, nobody's going to think that you didn't love Dave. Not everybody's comfortable with public speaking, as Dave would be sure to tell you. But we do want to give everyone the chance to say what's on their heart. And usually you don't have to ask my brother Ray Seiler from our church more than once, and he's chomping at the bit. So he'll start us off. Amen. Oh my goodness, yes.
With us. I want to thank you for sharing your grandpa with us. I am a better man because of it. The investment that he made in the scriptures and literally tried to pour out of the knowledge that he gave, that the Lord gave him, into us as believers, those that have sat under his teaching for all these years. I personally am a better believer because of it. I am a more mature believer because of it. And I will be a testimony to him in that day at the Bema Seat of Christ. The Bible says, Paul said that those people that he poured his knowledge into were his crown and his joy, were people. I am one of the jewels that will be on Dave's crown. And I want you to understand that. I take that seriously. What a blessing it has been to know Dave all these years, and to grow and to learn from him, and the sweet fellowship that I've got to know Dave over the years. We've always great, sweet fellowship, always. Hours and hours of hanging out and talking and enjoying one another and enjoying his kids and his hospitality and his grandkids. It makes a difference. When you take what the Lord has given you and you try to give it to somebody, that's what he did. I pray that one of these days, when I go and get promoted to glory, that I have the same kind of service. There's a difference in the service of a believer and those that are unbelievers. And I'm sure some of you know and have sat through some services where you're not sure if that person was saved or not. Religious services, there's a difference. This is a time to rejoice for what the Lord has done through Dave. And yes, it was unexpectedly, but that just should show you we need to take this seriously. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. Not one of us. And his whole life was spent, the moment he heard the truth was, hey, I need to tell this truth to as many people as possible. and I need to set the example. And he was a wonderful example. I pray that I can set that same example for those around me that he has set for me. That's a high bar. But our Savior is a high bar also. And that's who we aspire to be like. It's his wonderful Savior, our wonderful Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. So I just wanted to thank you guys so much for it. And it is sharing. It is sharing your dad and sharing your grandma and sharing your husband. That's a sacrifice on your behalf also. When you serve the Lord, it's not just us unless you're single. But especially when you're married and you have kids and grandkids, it's a sacrifice for all you guys. So thank you guys.
It was Ray's uncle that discovered Dave and came to me and said, "You got to come hear this new pastor I've found." And so I'm very thankful for that. This is Bill Stewart.
Bill Stalter.
Anyhow. You thought you were you just got promoted to a Stewart.
Yeah, well, you know.
From our one of our one
you
of the
had me, did you?
One of the on the board of directors here at Faith Bible Church.
You know, we're giving honor to Dave Stewart tonight. We also have a pastor who's amazing. Ricky Kurth has been a wonderful teacher of us. Dave taught us rightly dividing the Word of God. Dave knew that Bible up and back. If you look at his Bible, there's notes everywhere. I mean, it's all in French. It's in another language. But Dave was our Sunday school teacher. My wife and my daughter and all of us that attend Sunday school got to know Dave. Not really as well as Sandy did, but he was a really good brother. He was a good friend. And it was fun to know that he was a born-again Christian. He knew the Word of God inside and out, cover to cover. And not many of us have that ability to do that. I've been a Christian now since 79, and I probably haven't even read the Bible through. I skip around, like the Revelations and the Apostle Paul's messages, Ephesians and stuff, because the Apostle Paul was our apostle to the Gentiles. He's the one that was given the authority to go to preach to the Gentiles. And he had the mystery, which was hidden in God from the time of the beginning, from the beginning of time. So we did lose a brother in fellowship at the moment. But God's going to supply us with another. He has a way of doing things like that. So we have Sandy and his daughters and his grandchildren. And we've got our congregation that's pretty, we've got a pretty great congregation here. We're a small church. We have a mighty large body of Christ to share with. And even though I had a heart attack 3 years ago, and they prayed me out of the coffin. I should have been home by now, but again, I got sent back. And these people all prayed for me. They prayed for me. They protected my wife and my daughter in prayer and fellowship. So we do have a lot to be thankful for the congregation that we get. We have a lot to be thankful for the teaching we've been given. So anybody out there that doesn't understand any of this, which most of us really don't, why God would take Dave that quickly, or why some of us are still here, I think the reason is God's not finished with us. Dave knew the Bible so well, God just had to take it home. And that's about the truth of it. He didn't waver in anything that Scripture did. So it's heartfelt thanks for all of you coming to see a farewell to a brother in Christ. And we'll see him again someday. Very soon.
Amen.
And, God bless all of you and take care. Where's Paul? He came up short again. Anyhow, I just saw Mary out there. She's hiding back there. But again, everybody, thank you. Thank you, Ricky.
Well, you know who Amy is.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you, everyone, for coming. For those of you that don't know, I'm Dave and Sandy's daughter, Amy. Dave had four daughters. We were reminded quite often that he lived with five women. If you had an opportunity to see all of his hobbies, his stargazing and his woodworking and all of the things that he did, now you understand why he had so many hobbies, because he had five women. And I can tell you, being the oldest, I remember when there was an argument or something was going on, all of a sudden there was a constellation that needed to be seen in the basement. There was something wooden that needed to be made in the basement. And he exited and he focused on that. Not that I can blame him now that I have my own children. I completely understand. But as you've heard tonight from so many, his obvious, his main true passion, true beyond a hobby, was the scripture, was learning it, was studying it, and most importantly, was sharing it with as many people as possible. Which again, as Pastor Ricky pointed out, we did make that DVD that we certainly hope that as many of you can take with you and just see. For a man that did have the stage fright, he was, it was almost as if the power of Christ just reached into him when he was up here, and there was no stage fright in his face. He became a different person with a different purpose, and you really can see that when you view him on YouTube and on the DVD, he became a man of God, the message would just pour out of him. So, as I've been told my entire life, and you know, as it's been mentioned, that when you attend the funeral services, they're very different, and this one is different from many that we've all attended for other friends and family of people that maybe of different faiths. Dad always said there is a time to mourn, and we are in mourning, and it will take some time. But there will be a time to rejoice. There will be a time to celebrate, because there is no question. There is no doubt. There is no second guessing. We know where he is.
Amen.
And we will see him again. It is not goodbye. It is, we will see you later.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you, Pastor.
Anyone else? While you're thinking it over, well, come on up. While Jeremy's coming up, Jeremy, I should tell you, 6 years ago, Jeremy went to one of our national Bible conferences, and he came home, and he said, I want to get involved in the ministry. And he's a high school football coach. You can't tell by the... but he really is. And he said, I've been thinking of buying a video camera and videoing the team so they, you know, they show them what they're doing wrong and right. How about I come and start a video ministry at our church? And he did. And when I met with the family this past week, I started thinking, boy, it'd be great to give out a couple of messages that Dave gave and How about those two that he gave that, and when we looked, they were the very first two that Dave gave after Jeremy began his video ministry. Did I steal your thunder? And maybe he was going to tell you that, but I, oh my goodness, I'm sorry.
I just don't get too emotional because I'm not very good with stuff like this. I wanted to read a passage of scripture here. This is Paul praying that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in every man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ with passive knowledge, that you might be filled with all fullness of God. Now, unto him that is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, forever and ever. Amen. When I think of Dave, that breadth and length and depth and height, I mean, he brought it out here. To know God and to listen to him, you know, go through this Bible, it was amazing. And, he knew the love of Christ, so he shared it. And, I'm thankful for it. And, you know, can't wait to see him again. Because I know there's a sure hope out there.
Thank you, Jeremy. Anyone else? I should mention, for the past, I want to say, 100 years, our national fellowship has needed a new reference Bible. You know, the kind that has notes on every page that reflects your understanding of the scriptures. Last year, Berean Bible Society decided we're gonna finally address that need. Dave was not only asked to be one of the contributing writers on the new reference Bible, they asked him to proofread all the other pastors who were contributing in their notes to make sure they were doctrinally correct. That's the kind of man you're here tonight to honor, as well as a beloved father and wife, a husband and grandfather and all the rest. Anyone else? I don't want to shortchange anybody. If not, then I would like to close by reading an email that I received from a young man in Florida named Jared Heidemann. Several years ago, Jared started emailing Dave with questions about the Bible. And now, Jared is pastoring a church and following Dave's footsteps by teaching the Word of God there. And when he heard that Dave had gone to be with Christ, he sent me this brief email that I want to read for you, just a few lines. Jared said, "My job won't let me take off time to come to the funeral because Dave was not a member of his family. But if I were there, I would share how most young men look up to athletes like Michael Jordan for his skills and athleticism on the court. But young men like me looked up to men like Dave Stewart. Everyone who truly studies the Bible or has taught behind a pulpit knew that Dave was special. He was Michael Jordan to me. And I think those six words are going to stay with me a long time. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the comfort we find as we look into your word and we read the words of the Apostle Paul, who said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We know that the body we have before us is just the shell. And he is now with thee. And then we think of the words of the Apostle Paul, who said that to depart and be with Christ is far better. And we know that being with Christ is far better than earth's crummy days that we all have to go through, but it almost takes our breath away to realize the truth that to depart and be with Christ is far better than even the best days we have here on earth. And we thank you, Father, that he's enjoying that now. But in the days and weeks, months and years to come, I pray that you'd minister to the hearts of those who were closest to Dave and knew him best and will miss him the most. Your word says that you're the God of all comfort. And Father, we're going to hold you to that. But we know that you comfort us through your Spirit working in your people. And so I pray that each one here tonight that came to honor Dave will remember Sandy and the girls, and the family for the days ahead. And we pray it all in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you for coming.